Hey everybody, welcome to another Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a Supreme Court case that really brings up some interesting questions about online speech. Alonis v. United States. This one really gets into the whole mess of online threats, free speech, and intent.
Yeah. How do we figure out what someone really means when they're communicating online?
Especially now, right? It's a whole different world than when these laws were first written. So we've got the case brief and the Supreme Court opinions to go off of here.
Should be interesting to see how the court grappled with this back when social media was relatively new.
Totally.
Yeah.
This wasn't just some abstract legal debate. This case came from a real situation. So the story starts with Anthony Alonis. He called himself Tone Dougie online. After his wife left him, he started posting some pretty disturbing stuff on Facebook. A lot of it written like rap lyrics.
Yeah, and it wasn't just venting in general. These posts were very specifically directed at his wife and coworkers. They were terrified. I can't imagine seeing those posts and wondering, is this guy serious?
It must have been scary. Some of what he wrote is pretty chilling. Like one post said, "If I only knew then what I know now, I would have smothered your ass with a pillow, dumped your body in the back seat, dropped you off in Toad Creek, and made it look like a rape and murder."
And he even brought up the protection from abuse order his wife had gotten against him, asking if it was thick enough to stop a bullet.
Wow, so this is serious stuff. Obviously, it raises the question, can you be in legal trouble for posting threats online, even if you say you didn't really mean to hurt anyone?
Right, that's where the law gets tricky. It comes down to what's called a true threat.
I've heard that term, but not sure I could really explain it.
Basically, it doesn't matter what the person posting intended when they hit send or whatever. What matters is would a reasonable person reading that post feel seriously threatened?
So, like, imagine someone saying that stuff in a crowded room. Would you feel safe?
Exactly.
So, Elonis' defense was basically that he was just expressing himself artistically, like rappers do in their lyrics.
He claimed it was all just venting. He never planned to actually hurt anyone.
But the jury instructions at his trial said they had to consider how a reasonable person would interpret those posts, regardless of what was going on in Alonis' head.
Right. And that became a huge point of contention.
Because the jury ended up finding Alonis guilty on 4 out of the 5 counts against him.
Hey.
But then it went to the Supreme Court, and things got really interesting.
Yeah, the Supreme Court actually overturned the conviction. They said those jury instructions were flawed.
So what was their reasoning?
Essentially, they said to convict someone of a crime, you usually have to prove they had a guilty mind. You can't just show that their actions had a bad result. You got to show they meant to do something wrong.
So they were saying even if Ilanus's posts sounded threatening, you can't just assume he meant them that way. You'd have to prove he actually wanted people to feel threatened.
Exactly. And Chief Justice Roberts, he had a really good quote about this. He said, "Federal criminal liability generally does not turn solely on the results of an act without considering the defendant's mental state."
Okay, so that's a big statement. It really puts intent front and center in criminal law, especially when it comes to this new digital world.
Yeah, this case really forced the courts to start figuring out how these old laws apply to the way we communicate online.
And this is just the beginning of the story. There's a lot more to unpack here, so stick with us as we keep diving deep into Alonis v. United States. Okay, so the Supreme Court overturned Alonis's conviction, but I remember reading that it wasn't a unanimous decision, right?
You're right about that. There were a couple of justices who agreed with the outcome, overturning the conviction, but they had some different ideas about how the case should have been handled.
Like what?
Well, Justice Alito, he thought the court should have gone further and set a clearer standard like recklessness.
So instead of just saying the jury instructions were wrong, he wanted them to give more specific guidance.
Exactly. He thought that would have made things clearer for everyone going forward.
What would that recklessness standard look like in a case like this?
Well, it would mean that someone could be found guilty if they knew their words could be seen as a threat, but they posted them anyway, basically ignoring that risk.
So even if they didn't mean to threaten someone, if they knew it could be interpreted that way and didn't care, they could still be in trouble.
That's right. Alito felt like that struck a better balance, between free speech and protecting people online.
So he was more concerned about making sure there were tools to deal with online behavior that's clearly dangerous.
Yeah, even if it's hard to prove that someone specifically intended to threaten someone.
Okay, so that's Alito's view, but I thought there was another justice who had a different opinion.
Oh yeah, Justice Thomas. He actually thought the existing general intent standard was good enough.
Remind me what that means again?
Sure. With general intent, the prosecution just has to show that the person knew they were doing the thing they're accused of. in this case, sending those messages. They don't have to prove the person wanted the message to be a threat, just that they knew they were sending it.
So with general intent, Alonis probably would have been convicted anyway.
Yeah, most likely. He admitted to knowing his words were violent, so under that standard, that would probably be enough.
Wow, so we've got three different perspectives here. The majority opinion that focused on a culpable mental state, then Alito pushing for a recklessness standard, and Thomas saying stick with general intent.
And that's part of the problem, because the Supreme Court didn't give a clear answer. It created a lot of uncertainty for lower courts. They have to figure out how to apply the law to future cases. And that's led to some inconsistencies in how these online threat cases are handled.
So the Supreme Court opened up this whole can of worms with online speech, but didn't give us a clear way to deal with it.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. On the one hand, they emphasized free speech. They said just saying harsh things isn't enough to get you convicted. Which makes sense. We don't want people scared to express themselves online.
Right. Online communication is different. It's often informal and in the moment. But on the other hand, they didn't really say what does cross the line into illegal territory.
Exactly. And that lack of clarity has caused problems. Some people worry that without clear guidelines, people will be afraid to speak their minds online. You know, they might be scared of being misunderstood or even facing legal trouble.
So it's this balancing act between protecting free speech and making sure people feel safe online.
And that's what makes the Alonis case so important. It's not just about legal technicalities. It's about how we all behave online and the real-world impact our words can have.
It's a good reminder that even though the internet can feel anonymous, our actions still matter.
Absolutely. And even though the Alonis case might seem like a win for free speech, it also shows potential downsides of not having a clear standard like recklessness.
Like what kind of downsides?
Well, some people worry it could lead to too many prosecutions, you know, and that it could stifle free expression online, especially for things like satire or comedy.
Stuff that pushes the boundaries.
Exactly. It's that tension between free speech and safety. And the internet just makes it even more complicated.
But this case isn't just some abstract legal debate. It has real implications for how we interact online.
It really does. The Alonis case is a powerful reminder that our words matter, even those quick things we type out when we're frustrated or angry. Before we hit post, it's worth taking a second to think about how our words might affect other people, regardless of what we intend for.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, the story, the legal arguments, the different opinions. But what does it all mean in the big picture? How has this case changed things legally and in our online lives? That's what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive into Alonis v. United States. Welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about this really interesting case, Alonis v. United States, and how it's kind of changed the way we think about online threats and free speech. Now, I want to kind of zoom out and think about the bigger picture here. How did this case actually affect the legal world and, you know, our online lives?
Well, it really threw a wrench into things for lower courts that were dealing with online threat cases. Before Alonis, a lot of courts were using that reasonable person standard, you know, focusing on how the average person would interpret the message, not really caring about what the speaker actually meant.
So Alonis forced everyone to rethink things. But did it actually make it harder to prosecute online threats?
It definitely made it more complicated, for sure, by focusing on the need for a culpable mental state. The Supreme Court made things tougher for prosecutors. They couldn't just show that a message was threatening. They had to prove something about the speaker's intent.
And that brings us back to those unanswered questions, right? The court didn't say exactly what level of intent is needed. Should it be purposeful, like the person's goal was to threaten? Or would something like recklessness be enough?
Yeah, that's the big question. And that ambiguity has led to a lot of debate and different ways of applying the law in lower courts. Some courts have gone with that recklessness standard, while others want to see a higher level of intent before they'll convict someone.
So it's not consistent across the board. I bet that makes things hard for law enforcement too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's much tougher to prosecute these cases consistently now. And there's also the worry about going too far, you know?
Yeah.
Some people are afraid that a recklessness standard could end up criminalizing speech that's actually protected.
Like what kind of speech?
Well, think about satire or comedy or even art. Mm-hmm. Those are areas where pushing the boundaries is kind of the point.
So we're back to that same balance we keep coming back to. Protecting free speech, but also making sure people feel safe online.
Exactly.
It's a tough line to walk.
So what does all this mean for us as individuals? How has Alonis changed the way we communicate online?
I think it's been a wake-up call for a lot of people. It's made us realize that we have to be careful about what we say online, Even stuff we might think is just a joke or venting could be taken the wrong way and could have some serious consequences.
It's like that old saying, think before you speak. But now it's think before you post. Right. It's about being more aware of the potential legal problems with online communication. And it's also started some bigger conversations about online ethics, you know, the importance of being empathetic and respectful, even when we're online.
So even though the legal stuff is still being worked out in the courts, Ilongis has definitely had a lasting impact on how we think about these issues.
And it's not just the courts. Social media companies have had to rethink their content moderation policies, too. They're getting criticized from both sides. Some people say they're censoring too much, while others say they're not doing enough to stop online threats and harassment.
It's a complicated problem for sure. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today with Alanis v. United States. We talked about the story, the legal arguments, the different opinions. But as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought. In the digital age, our words can spread like wildfire. So it's more important than ever to really think about how what we say online might affect others. Are we making the internet a safer and more respectful place? Or are we just adding to the noise and negativity? Every time we hit that post button, we're making choices that shape the online world we all share. So let's make those choices wisely. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.